Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time that we're able to share together on this station every day at the same time, Monday through Friday. And this week, we've been looking at the ministry of the prophet Jonah and going to be making some comparisons with the ministry of Jesus. Now, by way of just very brief summary, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the ministry of Jonah, that he had been, in his lifetime, a successful prophet. In 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, verse 25, the word says, Jeroboam restored the border of Israel according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. So we see that he's definitely identified as this same Jonah who was commissioned by the Lord to go to Nineveh. And so he was successful, and perhaps one of the reasons that might explain his reluctance is he didn't want to lose face. He didn't want to accept a less popular commission, which might cause him to fail. In other words, the word of the Lord wouldn't come to pass. And so he, as we know the story, he ran from the Lord. He is thrown overboard because of a tremendous storm that arises, and he's swallowed by a great whale or fish and vomited up on the shores of Nineveh to proclaim the word of the Lord to them for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see that he was not happy with this commission. He had a lot of anger in him. And, you know, as we look at the fourth chapter of Jonah, after he had gone through this experience with the fish, he appears not to have really understood his own adventure and has already forgotten the grace lavished on him. So he now behaves like an unforgiving servant, or like the eldest brother of the prodigal son. Why should the dove be such a hawk as far as Nineveh is concerned? Well, the fact is, there was one result of a successful preaching was that all the extended borders gained under Jeroboam II could be lost to the Assyrians. You know, he really wanted to see the enemies of Israel destroyed, and he'd rather be dead than facilitate that. In fact, his attitude reminds us of Elijah in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verse 4. Do you recall that? Let me see if I can turn to that. Verse 4 says, but he himself, referring to Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. In other words, he was terrorized by the threat of Jezebel after that tremendous miracle of slaying the 300 Baal prophets. He had hoped to see a tremendous revival, repentance in Israel, which was not the case. And so he feels like he's a failure and he just wants to die. So what do we see? That both Elijah, Jonah, they've apparently risked their lives for nothing while Israel enemies are still powerful. And both of them seem close to a nervous breakdown. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to repent of open, gross sin, as Nineveh did, than to repent of a grudge in the heart or a wrong spirit, as Jonah. We may have walked with the Lord for many years, but sometimes we can feel justified in the opinions that we hold. That's why David prayed. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. And beloved, that's something we have to do, every one of us, taking inventory of our spiritual life. Because if any man thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. We all must judge ourselves, lest lest we be judged by the Lord. The Lord doesn't want to bring chastisement our way, but he will if we're too dull of hearing and if we're too dense of understanding. He does know how to get our attention. So we need to be ever vigilant and diligent in taking an inventory, if you will, of where we are at all times before the Lord. And as I mentioned on the broadcast, that we're going to make a comparison between the prophet Jonah with our Lord Jesus, and that might seem really far afield on first glance, but it's very interesting to note that of as much as Jesus quoted the word, that it's only Jonah, the minor prophet, that was referred to specifically by Jesus, and he's the only prophet with whom he compares himself. Let's look at Matthew, the 12th chapter, and I want to read verses 38 and 41 to you. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, greater than Jonas is here." And then there's another similar or parallel passage found in Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 29 through 32. "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation.'" So, in these passages of Scripture that I just looked at in Matthew and in Luke, there are three main thoughts expressed in these two parallel passages. The first is, and these are the comments of Jesus, one, that present generation was an evil, adulterous generation. In fact, that would be true of any generation that seeks after a sign. Secondly, he said that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. We're going to look at that in a little more detail. And thirdly, he says the sign of the prophet Jonas, as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so was Christ a sign to this generation. He's comparing himself with Jonah. So let's look now at that fact that they were an evil and adulterous generation. Now, of course, he was speaking to the Jews. He was speaking to his own who received him not. The true relationship between Israel and Jehovah had been represented throughout the writings of the prophets as that of a wife to her husband, that the Lord had betrothed Israel to himself. We look at Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea. They were as a harlot. They went away from the living God. And so the adulterous generation was therefore one that was unfaithful to the Lord. They demanded a sign. They wanted to see miracles instead of finding sufficient proof of God's love and his faithfulness in what he had already done for them. Now, Jesus also said in these gospel accounts that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. How could Jonah be a sign to the Ninevites? Well, first of all, he had a divine message. He didn't want to go there. He had no wish to come himself, but God made him. God has ways of getting us to do something. And if the Lord had mercy upon Jonah when he repented, so he would on the Ninevites. So God had given him a message, and now we see the miracle of his deliverance. They not only heard the divine message, but they saw in him living proof of God's mighty saving power. Jonah wrought no miracles, but he himself was a miracle as one raised from the dead. considering his physical appearance. You know, I wonder, when you think about it, what an amazing story. It's a great story for children, but it's great for us as grown-up children, as adults, because we know for a fact this has happened. We don't care what liberal theologians say. If Jesus said it occurred, it occurred. And I wonder if anyone was on the beach when they saw this happen, when the big fish vomited up Jonah. What a sensation that would have created. Can you imagine that? And of course, there's some scholars have suggested that perhaps Jonah's skin was bleached by the digestive juices of the great fish. Well, whether or not that was true, it had to be a rather amazing event for a man to be transported from, he was headed to Tarshish in Spain and went all the way back to Nineveh, courtesy of this great fish. Don't you just love the Lord? This is really amazing. So, why would they believe his story? Well, the judgments of God were already falling. As I had shared in a previous broadcast, the actual reign that of the who was reigning in Nineveh, his name was Ashurdan the second, from 771 to 754, and there was a plague in 765, and an eclipse of the sun in 763, and there was a second plague in 759, and those events were regarded by these ancient peoples as evidence of divine judgment. And of course, those events certainly could have prepared the people to receive the message of Jonah. Also, Nineveh was named after Nina, the earlier Sumerian name of the goddess Ishtar, written with a sign depicting a fish. So, whatever the case, Jonah's preaching 40 days a message of mercy and judgment, they listened to because their hearts had been prepared. Well, my time is gone, and well, we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. The announcer, in a moment, is going to give our contact information, and if you're in need of prayer, beloved, it's hard to stand alone, and you may have some things you really can't share with anyone. Well, when you write, it's between the Lord, myself, and you, and know that I will personally write you and send back what the Lord would give for your encouragement. Thank you for listening. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glasse. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.